story, just conceptual or whatever it is. The storyline here, work it into it. I mean, what I've been looking at today, this morning, thinking back on my youth, and I'm moved actually. When it kind of dawns on what happened in the world then. I just happened to look at a video where a young girl, she can't be more than like 18 or something, sits there listening to Ziggy Stardust by David Bowie, the whole album, and reacting to it. And yeah, she doesn't really, I think, pick up what, you know, the whole spirit and message and culture that this music grew out of. But I was there, and I got that record, LP record, in my hand. 75, I think it was. Sat down listening to it. My headphones, loud volume, because that's what it said on the backside of the cover. This should be listened to on loud, high volume. And it, you know, I just remember that it was not just this, but we did like that. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, you know, these kind of George Harrison, All Things Must Pass, you know. When a new album came of our favorite artists, it was like the release of a big movie or something for us. I don't know if the youngster today listened to music the way we did. It was our, because we didn't have so much, you know, other media. It was like our window out into the world, seen through, you know, our idols, whoever they were. And of course, that their illusions came popping and cracking down and tumbling down the hill, as, you know, many of them got hooked on drugs and all kinds of things. And of course, many are now either dead or maybe a pensioner, ordinary folks. Maybe with some drug problems, or you know, I mean, there was, you could say, I'm just trying to describe now, the early 70s, when I was, you know, in my late teens and early 20s. There was an awakening happening in the world then, among the youth. I don't think that's just something we all just say, because you like to remember your youth like that. But I want to show this in this story. So I thought, where did it start? And I think it really started with the Beatles, because they got interested in, well, of course, you have the psychedelic substances there, marijuana and other psychoactive agents, which, of course, the youth started to experimenting back then in the late 60s or mid-60s, including the Beatles. And again, kamikaze style, dropping LSD, having no idea about dosage, you know, or overdosing, going crazy. But then philosophers appearing, and of course, the thing is with these psychoactive substances that they first, when they were discovered, they've always been around. But, you know, when the primitive Westerners discovered it, or the modern age, that they also understood they can be used therapeutically. And that's where they started researching these. And it's psychotherapy. Because just as with everything, there is a right and a wrong usage of it. So things happen there. And yeah, if you go to India, because it was also evolving in interest in India, which had, I guess, started, you know, serious spiritual, philosophical interest in India in the mid, late 19th century. So it was growing among the, you know, the kind of beatnik circles and their predecessors, which I guess went back to that time, those times, the transcendentalists of America and so on. So there's a history there, and then Beatles. Something really happened there with the Beatles, because, I mean, how big and influential they became on an entire generation, or several generations. And, yeah, they got into meditation, they got gurus, started talking about gurus, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, Bhaktivedanta Swami, who, one of them, I mean 25% of the Beatles, George Harrison, was practically a disciple of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who founded the Hare Krishna movement. And I don't think we should underestimate the importance that the Beatles had in spreading the hippie movement. All you need is love. I mean, just take that song and understand how it came about. I was there, I saw it happening, and it was mind-blowing. The first satellite broadcast on television ever, and each country should be represented, which of course meant they wanted to put the finest they had in their country, and the British put the Beatles there. Why? And they were sitting there with flowers and colorful dresses with their friends and just chanting, all you need is love. Love, love, love. And around there, and they were at the center, I would say, this whole flower power, make peace, make love, not war, grew around them and from there. And they had the Indian philosophy coming in, and you had Srila Prabhupada there, 26 Second Avenue, and then out into the world. And yes, a wild scene. because I was wild, but in a way, bold experimentation going on. And again, some destroy their lives on drugs, including alcohol. Some just became yuppies after a while, making money, and destroying their lives on drugs, cocaine and things. I mean, but that's always there. What we should look at is the bright light that just shone through there for that time. And I would say especially, it kind of lit up in those years, the late 60s. And the interesting thing is that in the middle of it was the most famous person you never heard of, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And Gaur Nithai Sankirtan movement. And that's where our P.O. stumbled in. Well, 10 years later or so, and that our story is about. So I want to really tell that story and how it, history repeats itself. How the youngsters today, looking back and learning from their predecessors, the youth of the 60s, of the 70s, what do they say? How does it look from their point of view? Are they even interested? Do they even understand? Some of these kids who listen to this old music that for us carried an entire, youth revolution, a revolution in heart, and rebellion and uproar against hypocrisy and war and imperialism and capitalism and greed and all of that. And, there were artists there who sang about, in their poetic, experimental, often way, reality, as far there as they could get to reality. And then in the midst of that, you have 25% of the Beatles sitting there singing My Sweet Lord about Krishna, about actual reality. And that, again, the most influential group. So I want to put it in the story, defend that statement, that it very much started with this. These years there, and in the midst of it all was this humble Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, who just happened to show up there at that time, Lower East Side in New York City. So, we already have a volume in our book, the story about him. It's called The Master. Or, I don't know. I think it should be there throughout. If the master should be specifically about him, or a more generalized master, also there showing how one should not do this in the wrong way, but what it really means to be a guru. So yeah, at least now time for breakfast, but and now the squirrel is back. But this, I'm starting to see the relevance and also the focus that should be there of this story. It's important, actually, could be, if it's done right, for the young generation.